This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Noel and Chuang in the studio this morning. And now we've got a poll running right now. Is health and safety a good justification to restrict media access to Parliament? You can always let us know on Twitter at BFM Radio. As in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Gayathri Venkateswaran, communications and media expert from the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, on media coverage of the upcoming parliamentary sitting. But right now, let's talk about the situation in PJ Old Town. Over the weekend, PJ Old Town became the eighth area in the Klang Valley to be placed in under an enhanced MCO for the next 2 weeks until May 23rd. The move came following the detection of 26 positive cases in the area. And overnight, hundreds of houses were cordoned off to facilitate the house-to-house contact tracing measures, while at the same time to also curb the spread of the infection.
I think kudos to the government for acting swiftly to really cordon off the area and implement the necessary checks and so forth. So I think barbed wire fencing had been installed in the area, closing off three zones to outsiders. So people who live there have to stay there, but I think food has been provided. And of course, there has been a rising concern that PJ Old Town was being overpopulated by migrant workers, But I think there are news reports who suggest that that's not true and that's not the case. It's only in the wet markets where you see maybe many migrant workers.
Well, to give us a look, or at least to tell us how the situation is on the ground, we speak to Rajiv Vishakaran, Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing. Rajiv, are you there on the line with us?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the radio this morning. Now, how are residents of Old Town coping? Given the majority of residents there are senior citizens, how are they faring there?
Well, it is true. I think this is the highest amount of senior citizen residents of any of the lockdowns so far. They are coping quite okay. From the minute the lockdown started, my office and myself, we have been on standby to assist them. So we've been there to talk to them, to answer questions that they've had, concerns that they've had. We have helped deliver medicine for those who need medicine top-ups. We have helped arrange exit from the lockdown area for a couple of dialysis patients. We have helped with the food supply. So JKM has been very cooperative with us, and they've done a superb job in getting the food supplies delivered to the houses. So no one should go hungry during this lockdown. And JKM has also been very cooperative to help us deliver cooked food that we cater from restaurants outside the lockdown to the residents who are unable to cook. There are some senior citizens who normally rely on catered meals. They're not able to cook themselves at home due to the limited mobility.
Yeah, Rajiv, this is assumption that there's been a migrant invasion in PJ Old Town. Is that true?
I would say that's not true. Yes, there are migrants living in PJ Old Town, but this is no different from any other town or city in the country. These migrants not only work in the market as assistants to the stalls, they also work in the shops. A lot of shops rely on migrants. And PJ Old Town is next to the factory area of Jalan Penjala. So there's also a lot of migrants that will be working in these factories. So it is no different than any other industrial area where you would have migrants. But by far and large, the citizens outnumber the migrants at least 3-1.
How has the coordination been between the federal government officers, like the security officers and maybe the health officers, and your officers to enable you to assist residents?
Our coordination is mostly with the Jabatan Kebajikan, the welfare department, because they are the ones entrusted and empowered to deliver food aid and any other aid to the residents. So we don't have to deal that much with the police, army. That's one half of the lockdown. We are always in communication with the health department to also help residents with questions that they have. But most of our coordination work is with the welfare department to not only get the food supplied by the federal government to them, but also get supplementary food that we supply. So the federal government has given dry foods on the first day itself. The rice, sugar, flour, a couple of cans of sardine, condensed milk, ketchup, chili sauce, ikan bilis, and so on the first day. But we supplemented that with fresh vegetables, fish, eggs, bread. And we're very grateful that this Petaling District Welfare Office has been so cooperative with us going above and beyond the unnecessary call of duty to help get all these things in.
Now, Rajiv, one of the things that has come up from this is the state of the Old Town market. I mean, RATS was seen having a gala time there, and this has been something that's been going on for a few years now. What are the plans to essentially, I guess, clean up and rehabilitate the PJ Old Town market and the Maidan Selera? And what kind of timeline, what kind of assistance is needed to finally put this hygiene issue to bed?
There are rats in PJ Old Town Market, and I have also seen these things happen in any other market in the country. Unfortunately, we have not been able to figure out how to solve the presence of rats in market. And I think maybe by the fact that no humans were in the market for many days in a row because of the lockdown, there was also lack of new food supply, and maybe that brought the rats out and made them more bold. But the presence of rats exists everywhere. MBPJ is doing monthly cleaning. Once a month, the market is always shut down for a thorough wash. And right now, it's also undergoing a thorough wash. At the same time, the rat baiting exercises are always ongoing. But I think where you have a tremendous amount of fish, chicken, and every other produce being dealt with, being cut, and generating a lot of waste, rat problems persist. That's something that MPBJ needs to work on. But in terms of a thorough cleanup, that's happened since the story broke.
Now, Rajiv,
actually, it happens every month, once a month.
Okay, Rajiv, we've got a minute. What are some of the pressing issues in the PJ community, in the PJ area, pertaining to COVID-19, and what kind of federal assistance do you need?
I think the biggest issue now is getting the economy restarted. A lot of people are very hard hit by the MCO, and trying to get businesses back on track and getting employees to get off their no pay situation, and for a lot of businessmen to start getting their business back on track. So this is a challenge. I think it's not unique to PJ, but definitely folks in PJ are feeling the economic brunt of the MCO.
All right, Rajiv, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. That was Rajiv Rishikaran, Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing. Now, moving over to a bit of other local news. In a shocking turn of events, the Sessions Court in KL yesterday granted the stepson of former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak, Riza Abdul Aziz, a discharge not amounting to an acquittal, otherwise known as a DNAA, for money laundering involving about 1.08 billion ringgit linked to the 1MDB funds. Judge Azman Ahmad allowed the application by ad hoc prosecutor Gopal Sri Ram on the grounds that an agreement had been reached where the accused will hand over several million ringgit to the federal government.
This DNAA is dependent on Riza fulfilling the terms of the agreement, which means he has to return the money allegedly linked to money laundering. However, if he fails to comply with this agreement, then the prosecution can reinstate the charges and prosecute him. Now, bear in mind, there's no time frame given here, like when he needs to give the money back and then how much leeway do you give him before you decide to, you know, embark on the prosecution. And by then, all that, you know, we might be talking about 3 years till the next general elections.
Okay, the other twist in the tale is also the fact that there are assertions that the former Attorney General, Tan Chee Tommy Thomas, agreed to this discharge amount not amounting to the acquittal. And that's something that the former Attorney General denied vehemently. He said that after passing the reins over to his successor 2.5 months ago, he was basically just passing the documents to Gopal Sri Ram, the prosecutor in that case, and no such statement was made by him. So he said he was terribly dismayed by such a statement made by the MACC.
Yeah, of course. Now, this is pretty much just a he said, she said situation at this point. Everyone just pointing the fingers at each other as to how this came to be and what led to this decision. And MACC has come out to defend its statement, with MACC Chief Commissioner Azam Baki saying in a reply to the denial of former AG Tommy Thomas that this, who said it was based on decision by the case's prosecution team. Azam, standing by his statement, said a deputy public prosecutor in the case has said that Thomas had agreed with the decision. So again, this is a little bit of a back and forth, a he said, she said situation. But like you said, there are many questions here. What does this mean for the case? What does this mean for the timeline in terms of returning that money? Many questions that I do not have the wisdom to answer at this point.
And also, what does it mean for Najib's case as well, right? Is it going to see the kind of justice that everyone is hoping for? Well, the jury's out there.
Let's just hope it was just a matter of the miscommunication, and that's really it. That's, I mean, we can hope that. But right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, are negative interest rates good or bad for the economy? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.